Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Darius Barzana. You're tuning into the Messenger Revolution X10, and I am incredibly excited because I have a friend and an incredibly esteemed messenger. I would say probably one of the most well-known messengers that we've had on the Messenger Revolution, and someone that has really impacted my life because I still remember, it was probably about 4 years ago, hearing her speak in Calgary. One of my good friends put on an event there, and really getting the gist of what happiness could mean in my life and business. And if I went back 4 years ago, it was a very different world for me, and I've got to be quite honest and transparent and probably reveal something that I will that I've never revealed before, that I really was not very happy 4 years ago in my life and in my business. I was teaching something I really wasn't passionate about. Believe it or not, I'll be honest, I was in a relationship, a marriage that I was not really very passionate about either. And when all of that and all those things began to come to a head, I realized that my happiness was probably one of the most important things that I had to develop if I was really going to get my message out, if I was really going to be successful as a messenger and be kind of like a magnet to all those people who wanted my service, who wanted my value. So what I would love for everyone to do now is we're going to get started with Marcy. First, go to messengerrevolution.com/live, L-I-V-E, and share, you know, what your thoughts are. Take notes as you're listening to what Marcy and I are going to be going through and some of this amazing content and things that you can use right now. Take notes and share this with the world, because I believe that a happy world is an abundant world, and a happy business person, a happy messenger, is somebody who actually almost like, I would say, turns on a magnetic power that draws the world into their life. You know, the one thing people want is happiness. You know, if you erase away, oh, well, I want this car, I want this house, I want this procedure. Why? Well, because I want to be happy, right? They think those things will make them happy. Why don't we start with happiness first, and you'll see all those things come forward, and you're going to find out why you need to understand this and apply it in your life now. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Marcy, and I'm very excited to get into this interview and this training session. Marcy Shymoff is number one New York Times best-selling author, a world-renowned transformational teacher, and an expert on happiness, success, and unconditional love. Her newest books, Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love, and Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy Inside and Out, were both runaway bestsellers, debuting number 2 and number 3 on the New York Times bestselling lists. Her other bestsellers include 6 titles in the phenomenally successful Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul series. Her books, literally, guys, have sold more than 15 million copies worldwide in 33 languages and have topped all of the major bestseller lists and have been on the New York Times bestseller list for a total of 118 weeks. Marcy is without a doubt the best-selling female nonfiction author of all time, one of the best-selling. And there is no better person to reach us here on the Messenger Revolution. If you want to get your message out, if you want to live a life around your message, if you want to make a huge difference in the world through what you know, through what you care about, look no further than right here. And I want to also say this. Marcy is also the host of the national PBS television special called Happy for No Reason. And she's also a featured teacher in the international film and book sensation The Secret, as many of you may remember. And she shared her message with millions of people all over the world, and she's dedicated to help people become more empowered, more joyful. Please welcome our guest today, Marcy Shymoff. Marcy, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Darius. I'm delighted. I'm happy for great reason to get to be here with you today, and I loved getting to hear your story at the beginning of this. So thank you for being so transparent with that, I'm going to share with everyone today some really, I'm sure, some things they didn't know about happiness and some very practical things that we all can do in our lives to raise our happiness level and therefore raise our level of success.
You know, I love where you started this from, because you said you didn't say raise our level of success and then raise our level of happiness. You said raise our level of happiness and then our level of success. And that is a really key piece. I mean, why is that important? Because a lot of people are coming from the place, well, if I'll be successful first, then I'll be happy. But actually, it's quite reversed, and rightly so, correct?
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, I actually said this in the film, The Secret, for those people who saw it. I said that we have it backwards in our society. We think that that success is going to bring us happiness, but it's the other way around. Happiness will bring us success. Now, there's research that backs this up. In fact, Time magazine earlier this year had an article that showed that people who are happier are 31% more productive. They're 37%, they have 37% greater sales, and they're 50% more creative. There's research that's also shown that when we're happier, we make over $1 million more over the course of our lifetime. So this is backed up by research. You know, we could talk about happiness and it sounds like some airy-fairy thing. It's not. What we're going to be talking about today is something very, very scientifically based. And you may wonder, well, why is that? Why is it that people who are happier are more successful? And to me, it's very clearly, it makes a lot of sense by virtue of looking at the concept of the law of attraction, which many people are familiar with. That the law of attraction is what the film The Secret was based on. And it basically says that everything in the universe is made up of energy and that we attract to us based on our energetic vibration. So the energy of who we are, of what we're saying, of what we're thinking, of how we're feeling, of our words, all of that creates an energetic vibration that attracts to it. And happiness and love, I will say, are the two highest energetic vibrations on the planet. And that's why when you raise your happiness set point, which is something we'll be talking about today, when you raise your happiness set point, then you are able to attract into your life much more of what it is you really deeply want. And Darius, can I just read to you one little short paragraph from the book The Secret that I think sums this up?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
All right, so this is in the words of Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret, and she says, "I want to let you in on a secret to the secret. The shortcut to anything that you want in your life is to be and feel happy now. It's the fastest way to bring money and anything else you want in your life, so set your thoughts and frequency on happiness." And that's why, to me, it is absolutely the most important ingredient for you experiencing more wealth, success, and anything else you want in the outer world is to raise your happiness level.
Now, I think this is astounding, and it's almost something that we never talk about, unfortunately. However, your book, Happy for No Reason, is literally an international bestseller. It's been one of the best-selling books of all time, and yet many people still don't really understand how this happiness can relate to even their business as a messenger or earning more income. Can we sort of connect the pieces? Because it's not just about being happy for happiness' sake, but you can actually serve more people, you can reach more people, you can earn more, you can live more, you can give more, right, if you're happier, correct?
Well, you can. You can because you're more creative. You're more resilient. So, you know, everybody's got setbacks in their work. Everybody's got challenges that come their way. But it's been shown that when you're happier, you have a better ability to bounce back from challenges. People want to be around you more. So in business, you're more attractive. You know, just a simple example. If you have a choice of going to two dry cleaners, the quality between them is exactly the same, the cost is the same, and they sit right next door to each other. But one of them, you walk in and everybody's miserable and unhappy, and the other one, you walk in and they greet you with a smile and they're a joy to be around. Which one are you going to go to? You're going to go to the one where they have a good energy, you know? It's simply what I explained earlier based on the law of attraction that we attract to us based on our energetic vibration. Now, Darius, I want to talk a little bit, if we can, about happiness and why it's so hot these days. Why so many people are talking about it? Would that be something that would be of interest?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's also a time when so many people are, like, looking at the world saying, well, there's so many reasons to be frustrated, yet,
right.
I mean, is there a connection there?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because most people say to me, I don't have time to focus on happiness right now. I've got to figure out how to pay the bills. And my answer is, this is exactly the time when you need it the most. Because when you are faced with a challenge, whether it be a challenge financially, whether it be a challenge in your relationships, a challenge in your health perhaps, in any of these cases, the one root thing that you can do to create change in the outside world, whether it be in your finances, in your relationship, or in your health, or in your career, the one thing you have the most control of doing is to raise your happiness level. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of research done on happiness these days, and there's people are really interested in this, and I can tell you that I found that they're interested in this for two reasons. And let me just share with you the two reasons. One is good news and one is bad news. So let's start with the bad news.
Okay.
The bad news is that we have an epidemic of unhappiness in our society. One out of four women is on antidepressants. Now, that is staggering. One out of four women. We have more financially in many ways than we've ever had in history.
Right.
And yet we are unhappier than ever. So that's the bad news. Good news. The good news is that for the first time in human history, science has cracked the happiness code. We know what it takes for people to be happier. And as far as I'm concerned, that should be headline news. Here it is. Yeah. Happiness is the one thing that we all want more than anything. And Darius, you said this in the very beginning. It's the reason that we want anything. The only reason that you want a better career or more money or a great relationship or anything that you've ever wanted in your life, it's because you think it will make you happier. And the truth is that we can cut to the chase. We can go for the happiness first. By the way, Aristotle said that happiness is the be-all and end-all of life. It's the goal of all goals. So what I'm going to share today with you is how you can go for that happiness first and then watch all the other stuff flow into your life more. And I am absolute proof of this in my own life, and I can tell you that I've seen this in the lives of thousands and thousands of people that I've coached or trained or spoken to.
Well, this is a really great point, is that when you open up this happiness, like, everything else flows in. And I want to talk about your life because, you know, Marcy, I've known you for years, and what you've been able to do has been astounding. I mean, you know, New York Times best-selling books, millions and millions, 15 million copies of your books sold, 33 languages. You've topped all the major best-selling books. You're one of the top best-selling female nonfiction authors of all time. You're in this prestigious PBS television special called Happy for No Reason. And all of this, was there ever a time before all of this happened that, you know, you ran up against this sort of happiness gremlin where you really maybe weren't as happy as you are now? And what shifted that? And then the follow-up to that is, when that shifted, how did your business shift?
Well, thank you for asking that, because I so often people say, well, Marcy, you just were always happy.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that I wasn't. I came out of the womb depressed. And I was very lucky because I had a great family. I had great circumstances and all of that. But I still was – I was very unhappy as a kid. I had a dark cloud around me. And that continued with me through my teen years. But I was lucky because I had a father who was the happiest person that I've ever known in my life. And he passed away at age 91. But every morning of his life, he woke up with a big smile on his face and just was a major happy camper. And I remember one day he and I were driving down the road, and I was about 19 years old, and I looked at him and I said, okay, Dad, what's your best advice for life? And he looked at me and he said four words. He said, honey, just be happy. Well, I threw my arms up into the air in frustration. I said, oh, Dad, that's easy for you to say. You were born that way, but I wasn't. What do I do? And he looked at me, and he said four more words. He said, honey, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And at that point, I realized, you know, some people are just born happy. But for the rest of us, and most of us, we actually need to do something about it. And that's when I dedicated my life to finding out what I could do, what you could do, what anyone could do to raise their happiness level. And I've found these amazing things. So shall I share with you the most exciting thing I found out about the research?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. I want to know.
And then I'm going to share with you a little bit later, part two to my happiness journey story, because I think that it's relevant as well.
Okay.
So here's what we found out. We found that, or science has found, I didn't do it, but the field of positive psychology, a lot of research in the field has found that we all have something called a happiness set point. And what that means is that no matter what happens to us, whether it's good or bad, we will hover around our happiness set point. And I'll give you two examples of this. The first example is people who win the lottery. Now, you think that all you have to do is win the lottery and you would be happier. Well, you would be for a couple of months. But within about a year, you would return to your original happiness level. Now, surprisingly, the same is true of people who have tragedies happen to them. So, for example, people who become paraplegic, within a year, they also return to their original happiness level. So that means this happiness set point is the key to everything. And fortunately, we can raise that set point, and that's what I'm going to show you how to do. But first, let me tell you how that set point is derived.
Okay.
It's 50% genetic. That means you were born with it. It was in your DNA.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
It's 10% and only 10% your circumstances. You know, that's the part that has to do with your success or your family or any of that. That's only 10% of the whole equation. The other 40% is your habits of thoughts and behavior. And that's the piece that we can do the most about to raise our happiness set point. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. And remember I said that 50% of your set point was genetic. It was in your DNA. There are progressive scientists these days, amongst them Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief. And they say that we even change our DNA, we change our genes when we change our habits of thoughts and behavior, which means that up to 90% of your happiness set point can be changed when you change these habits. And through all of the research that I've done, I've found that there are 21 main happiness habits that anyone can practice to raise their set point. And I know that we'll cover probably three of these today during our, and maybe we might even be able to sneak in a fourth. So, but the main idea is that this is a matter of habits. It's as simple as that. And these aren't challenging, difficult things. It's just a matter of learning the right habits that can cause you to be happier and therefore create more success.
Well, yeah, and this is really fitting because I got an email from somebody in the series named Emily, and she wrote me, and one of the things she said was, I feel like I've always been kind of an unhappy person, and even when good things happen to me, I go right back eventually to where I started from. How in the world can I share my message? How can I get this out to people when I keep bumping up against, she called it her happiness ceiling?
That's right.
So
Great question.
Are you saying that we can do, I mean, anybody barring some other, you know, type of like mental illness can do this and this is available to us?
Yes, and where we've got it wrong, and we all have this, is we believe in the happiness myth that is propagated by our society. And the happiness myth is, I'll be happier when. So it's, I'll be happier when I make more money, or I'll be happier when I have more success, or I'll be happier when I get married, or I'll be happier when I get divorced, or I'll be happier when I lose 20 pounds. It's a myth. And is it Emily?
Yeah, Emily.
Emily is saying is she keeps accomplishing maybe certain goals of hers or certain amounts of things, and then she hits her happiness ceiling, and that is very normal. What happens is, and I know everybody listening has had this experience, where you've set a goal for yourself, and you just think, oh, my God, when I reach that goal, I'm going to be so happy. And you are for a short period of time, but then you return to your original happiness set point. That's what's happening. And let me just share with you how that worked in my own life, because I think it really helps to sort of see how insidious this myth is. I thought, you know, when I decided, okay, I'm going to study happiness, I was 19. I set a goal for myself to accomplish five things in my life. And I knew that once I had those five things, that would be all I'd need to be truly, deeply happy.
Wow.
And my five things were: I wanted to have a great career helping people.
Okay.
I wanted to have a great relationship with a husband or life partner. I wanted wonderful friends, a comfortable home, and the equivalent of Halle Berry's body. Now, I got four out of the five. I don't have Halle Berry's body. But I got all those other goals. And let me just share with you what happened to me at the height of what I thought should have made me the most happy. And to do this, I'll have to backtrack. It was 1998.
Okay.
And at the time, my life was going swimmingly in on this outer ways. And I had just, I had three of my Chicken Soup for the Soul books had been written, and all three of them were in the top five on the New York Times bestseller list in the same week.
Wow.
I had just finished giving a talk to a room full of 8,000 people. I felt like I was an author rock star.
Right.
And I had spent 3 days signing, autographing books, and I had autographed 5,432 books over those 3 days, so many that my client had to have a massage therapist on hand to massage my hand every hour so I didn't get carpal tunnel. And, you know, this should have been, I should have been the happiest, happiest, happiest ever. The end of those 3 days, I went up to my hotel room, which was the penthouse suite that my client had gotten for me, and I plopped onto the bed, and I burst into tears. And I burst into tears because I realized that I had accomplished everything that I thought I wanted and more, but I still wasn't happy. And I could no longer go on thinking that just the next goal around the corner was going to bring me what I deeply wanted inside. And that was the breaking point for me. And that's when I decided to really dive headlong into this study of happiness. Now, that was 14 years ago. And I would say that, you know, back then I would have not given myself a very high score on happiness. And I would say today, you know, I probably got a C minus or a D plus back then. And right now I'd get an A to an A minus. I'm still on the journey. But
right.
What a difference. And this is what I want to say even further. I had been able to achieve a good amount of success while I wasn't that happy. But since I have raised my happiness set point, the amount of success that I have achieved is way beyond what I did in the Chicken Soup for the Soul days. And, you know, I would have thought back then, I'm at the height of my career. It can't get any better than this. And once my happiness set point raised, and it took me probably, I spent about 7 or 8 years really working on that. And by about 2006, that's when everything else burst open to a whole new level of my career. The Secret came out, and Happy for No Reason came out a year later, and Love for No Reason after that, my PBS show, all of that happened after I had raised my happiness set point. So I know absolutely that you can create success through force,
yes,
but it will not bring you what you're really looking for, and you can create even greater success through happiness, through raising your happiness level, and it will bring you more outer success, but more importantly, it will bring you what you're more deeply looking for inside as well.
Well, and this is the point I want to bring up. I mean, we're here on the Messenger Revolution. People want to be a messenger. They want to write that book. They want to be that speaker. They want to be that teacher. They want to be that person who can help others, and they want to earn abundant income and a life helping others. And here you were, Marcy. I mean, listen, guys, here was Marcy. She had done all of these things, probably bigger than we could even imagine at this point. And at that moment, when she had reached that pinnacle in 98, she broke down in her hotel room at the end of the day and started crying. This is why. This is the first thing you must do. And not only will it make your journey easier and faster and more elegant and more fun, it'll be the thing that sustains you to continue going. This is so vital, Marcy. I'm so honored and glad you're here because, you know, it's almost like we've got to start from this point because we definitely don't want people to be in that place. So maybe we could start. I mean, I've read about some of the work, and I have the book, and you talk about this Happy 100.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw people that were, you know, these unconditionally happy 100 people that you interviewed, and there were certain patterns. And I would love to begin to understand some of those patterns because I'm ready to start applying them myself.
Great, great. Well, let's get really practical. I'm going to start us off. How about if I start us off with an exercise or a real practical tool that you can use right away in your life? And that one of the biggest happiness robbers, if not the biggest happiness robber that we have in our life, is stress. We are a stressed out society. And when we're stressed out, we know we go into a whole physiological reaction. Science calls it the stress response. Now, science has also found that we have an opposite reaction called the love response, or an opposite state, if you will, called the love response. And the love response has different brain activity, has different biochemistry, different hormones going, different neurotransmitters, and it has different heart rhythms. And the Institute of Heart Math, which is the world's leading research on our hearts and on happiness and how it affects us, they have found that when we're feeling angry and frustrated for just 5 minutes a day, it will suppress our immune system for up to 6 hours.
Wow.
But when we're feeling, I know, it's amazing, when we're feeling happiness and joy and love and ease, we are strengthening our immune system for up to 6 hours. So just 5 minutes will affect a huge, you know, can affect a huge portion of your day. So I want to show you a simple practice that I use all the time that will move you from the stress response to the love response. And you can use this anywhere you are at any time of the day. How does that sound? Does that sound like a good thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially for people right now trying to get their business off the ground, dealing with sort of that stress and moving forward and decisions. I mean, this is something I want them to have, absolutely.
Great. So this, it's not even going to take us 5 minutes to do. It's going to take us 2 minutes.
Okay.
And it's a three-step process I learned from the Institute of Heart Math. It's called the Inner Ease Technique. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask everybody to do it along with us. But, Darius, because I can talk to you, I'm going to have you be my guinea pig. Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
Great. So at the end of this, Darius, I'm going to ask you how you feel any different than you do now. So first of all, you can do this with your eyes opened or closed, but if you're able to close your eyes, then I suggest that you do it because it goes a little bit deeper. But even if you're somewhere where you're not able to close your eyes, feel free to join along. So I invite you to close your eyes now if you can.
I'm going to close mine. Just so you
great. Know. All right. All and right. I'm going to close mine because you guys can't see me anyway. So the first step is to simply place the palm of your hand over your heart.
Okay.
Now, that simple act of putting your hand on your heart starts the flow of a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin is dubbed the love hormone because it's what we have more of when we feel bonded or connected with each other, with other people. Mothers who are breastfeeding have more oxytocin, or women when they give birth have more oxytocin. As Darius, you might know this.
That's right.
Just given birth to twins. So, but and also when we make love, we have more oxytocin.
Wow.
But you can stimulate the flow of oxytocin in your system just by putting your hand on your heart as you're doing right now. Now, the second step is to imagine that you are breathing in and out through the center of your heart. So just picture or feel that your breath is coming in and out through your heart. You're inhaling into your heart. You're exhaling out of your heart. And some people do better picturing this. Some people do better feeling it. Doesn't matter. Just imagine that you're breathing in and out through that center of your heart. Now, finally, the third step. On each in-breath, imagine that you're breathing in love, that you're breathing in ease and compassion. Now, your exhales can just be normal exhales, but on each inhale, just picture yourself breathing into your heart love, ease, and compassion. And on the exhales, just deeply exhaling. On the inhale, and do this in your own rhythm, on the inhale, breathe into your heart, take that into your heart, love, ease, and compassion. You can imagine that. You can remember a time when you felt that. You can just even saying the words love, ease, and compassion will generate those feelings. So breathing those into your heart and exhaling normally, breathing one more time deeply into your heart, love, ease, and compassion. And on the exhale, you can open up your eyes and take your hand down. And I just want everyone to take a moment and notice how you feel right now. Notice how you feel any different than you may have felt a couple of minutes ago before we started this. And Darius, since you are my guinea pig here, tell me, how do you feel now as compared to a couple minutes ago?
Well, it really was amazing because the second I put my hand on my heart, it's like I felt something shift in my whole body. It was really profound. And my brain before was very scattered, thinking about 100 things and really almost, you know, not as present as I could be. And when I did that exercise, like I felt all of my energy just really become very unified and a lot more calm, a lot more clear. And it's interesting, but it's like I'm getting a lot more ideas coming in that are much more like focused than, you know, sort of like the scattered sort of nervous energy that a lot of us think is productive, but it's really not.
Right.
And I also just feel, I feel more connected and relaxed. It really was astounding. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I love that. What you said, all those things are indications that you actually moved into the love response. And some people say that they feel more ease, they feel more grounded, they feel more peaceful. They may feel even a physical sensations of warmth in their heart or tingling in their hands and feet. And all of these are indicators of being in the love response or, you know, more and more in the love response. Now, here's the deal. Doing this once is a nice experience, but nothing more than that.
Mm.
Where you will create real change in your life is if you do this two or three times a day for the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Then what you have done is you've built the muscle of being in the love response. You've made it more and more a habit. So it becomes more your default state. I've done this hundreds and if not thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And now all I have to do is put my hand up to my heart and the entire phenomenon takes over. And that is what we want. We want to start to habituate ways to live our moment-to-moment life in a different state of being. And, you know, what I love about this exercise is that you can do this anywhere. You can do this while you're sitting in a business meeting and you're bored. Or you can do this when you're standing in line at the grocery store. You can do this when you're sitting on the phone with somebody. No one has to know that you're doing it. And by the way, works just as well, works fine to do it with your eyes open as well. So the idea is that notice how silly, how it seems so simple and silly to, you know, how can this make really any difference in my life? But the changes that we want to raise our happiness set point are this easy to do.
Mm.
And so I invite you to just try it out in your life. Use your own life as an experiment to see if it doesn't shift things. And I will tell you that every great inventor, every great business mind, everyone who's created anything will tell you that their biggest inspirations have come when they have been more in a state of ease, peace, love. You know, Einstein said that he would go out for a walk, and that's when his greatest ideas, ahas, would come. The idea for writing Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and was in fact I was the first person to come up with an idea of these Chicken Soup for the Soul specialty books, and it came at a time when I was feeling in this love response. I was in a meditation retreat. So you don't have to go away for days and weeks and months to start to habituate this love response, and it will be the source of your best creative ideas.
You know, that's incredible. I'm thinking back to my own life, like I talked about probably what 4 years ago or so in Calgary at that event that I heard you speak at, you know, I was really unhappy and people kept telling me, well, you could do this with your business, you could do that, and I couldn't see it. The only thing I could see, Marcy, because I was attached to that fear, was everything I would lose. Well, if I change the direction of my life, of my business, I would lose all of this. And it's almost like that fear response kept me trapped in this little prison world. that was so small and so confining that I couldn't even see that I was in it. It was almost like I was so small that the tiny prison world seemed like it was the whole planet, but it really was just like this little bitty cell that I was occupying. This is astounding stuff. Here's the thing I want to ask you about. I'm going to be a little controversial.
Okay.
You were in the movie The Secret. It was about the law of attraction and sort of what we think and how that creates our world. But I've also heard you say, don't believe everything you think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? And is, you know, believing that our thoughts are always real, is that kind of dangerous as it relates to our happiness or limiting?
Great, great. Glad we're talking about this, because our thoughts are the other biggest, I said the stress was one of the biggest happiness thieves, and the other big one is our thoughts. Our thoughts can so much rob us of our happiness. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it's true. A thought is merely a habitual pattern that has been created in your mind that allows your mind to keep going down the same old pathways. And science shows that we have 60,000 thoughts a day. For the average person, 80% of those are negative. And this is something that psychologists call a negativity bias. It's normal. It's not necessarily good or productive, but we've inherited this tendency from our caveman ancestors, who had to remember and focus on all the negative. It's no longer productive for us to be that way. We don't need that thousands, millions of years or whatever numbers of years later. And let me use an analogy that I learned from one of the brilliant experts that I interviewed, a man named Rick Hansen. And he calls it that we have the Velcro Teflon syndrome. Here's what he means by that. Our minds are like Velcro for the negative. The negatives just stick to us, but they're like Teflon for the positive. The positives slide off of us. And what we need to do in order to be happier is we need to reverse that Velcro Teflon syndrome of ours. Let me just give you an example of this.
Okay.
If you get 10 compliments in a day and one criticism, what do you remember at the end of the day?
Gosh, everyone, ask that question of yourself, because I really want you to feel the truth in that.
Yep. Now,
yeah.
Most people are remembering, they're going home, they're sitting around the dinner table, they're telling their family, can you believe what so-and-so said about me? Not even remembering the 10 compliments that they got. And so what we really need to do is we need to reverse this syndrome. And there are some fascinating research about how to do that. So I'm going to share with you three ways that you can reverse this Velcro Teflon syndrome.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Well, I mean, is that even possible? Because if we've been sort of inherited this from our DNA through time, I mean, can it be, it seems almost like this is just the way it is, or am I way off base?
Right. Well, here's what's cool. Our
okay.
brains are plastic. It's called, there's a field of science called neuroplasticity, the field of neuroplasticity. And what
okay.
it says is that we can change our neural pathways or our thought patterns until the day we die. So, yes, all of this can be changed, and it's been very, very clear that the people who do change their neural pathways and create new, more life-supporting neural pathways do end up having much greater success.
Wow.
And you're
wow.
going to be amazed when you hear what you need to do that. And again, this is all from the science out there. So you ready for the three steps for changing your neural pathway?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Marcy, if I didn't get them, I'd
you'd be killed by everybody listening here.
Exactly.
All right. Step number one, we actually have to notice and take in the good. Rick Hansen calls it taking in the good. What that means is you need to be on the lookout for it. Now, most people are not on the lookout for the good. We are on the lookout for the bad because it's what we're
right.
used to. We have a reticular activating system in our brain that causes us to notice everything that's in that's congruent with what our thoughts already are. So you notice that if you're looking for a new car and you want to get a white Lexus, all of a sudden every car on the road that you see is a white Lexus. They're not suddenly more like Lexi on the road, Lexus is on the road, but it's just that that's what you were looking for. So we actually need to be on the lookout for the good. I had one woman I interviewed with Happy for No Reason, and she said she likes to consider that she gives out every day her own Academy Awards. And she's always on the lookout for something that she can give her Academy Award to during the day. So, for example, she may be on a walk, and she sees a really adorable, fluffy white dog, and it makes her smile. And she goes, oh, that dog gets the cutest dog of the day award. Now, it may seem like a silly little game. And, by the way, play this with your kids. This is a great thing. Now, Darius, your kids are a little bit too young to be playing with them. They're, what, a month old or so. But at any rate, you want to be sharing this with children, because the earlier they can start, the better off they are. And what you want to do is you just want to be on the lookout for what is working in your life. So that's step number one. Step number two is called the 20-second rule. 20 seconds. The 20-second rule. And what that means is that it takes us 20 seconds to actually deeply register the positive, which is much longer than it takes us to register the negative. So for it really to make an impression and create new neural pathways, we have to notice and give attention to that good thing for at least 20 seconds. This, by the way, is why people who keep a gratitude journal, writing down three or four things every day at the end of the day that they were grateful for, this is why within a period of a month they will be happier. That will raise their happiness set point, because they're playing by this 20-second rule, and that's what it takes to write these things down. There are other ways that you can do it, though, without writing it down. I'll give you a simple example. The next time somebody gives you a compliment, they say, oh, you did a really great job on this project. Instead of saying, oh, it was nothing, say, take that compliment in and say, thank you. You know, I worked really hard on this project, and I'm glad that you noticed. I was so proud of how it turned out. Now, that isn't bragging. That's merely saying, acknowledging the truth, and it's taking it in for 20 seconds.
Okay? Wow.
Now, the third step on this reversing our neural pathways is called the 5-to-1 ratio. There is a researcher named Dr. John Gottman who has studied relationships for the past 30-plus years, and he can look at a videotape of you and your partner, and he can tell you within 5 minutes whether that's a marriage that's going to last or not.
Wow.
And the way he can do that is that he counts up the number of positive to negative interactions that you have. So he just literally tallies them up. And he said for a couple to be healthy and thriving, they need to have a ratio of 5-to-1 positives to negatives. Now, that we all have a relationship with ourselves. And so we also need to have that 5-to-1 ratio to have a healthy and thriving relationship with ourselves. Now, there are wonderful tools and techniques out there to help you release the negative patterns. And I am a big believer in all of these tools, tools like the emotional freedom technique, EFT or tapping. Another tool that I love is called the Sedona Method or the work of Byron Katie. And these are beautiful tools for helping you release those negative thought patterns. And, you know, we don't have time to teach those, but you can learn those in about 20 minutes to a half an hour. In fact, some of those are part of a course that we'll be talking about later on today. But I highly recommend doing these three little techniques around changing your brain waves, so your brain activity, so it favors the good, but also learning some of these practices to release the negatives. So that's a little way to address those points about our thought patterns.
Well, I hope everyone is taking notes, because these are some huge, huge pieces that you can begin applying in your life and in your messenger business, like right now. In fact, I would do it every single day. Marcy, and I'm really dying to kind of ask, you know, what happened to you on the other side of this? I don't want to go too far too soon, but I definitely want to know kind of how things have shifted now in your life, that you've applied a lot of this and much, much more. Of course, some of the things we're going to talk about later. The body, I mean, we all are trying to live longer, be healthier, have more joy, more vibrancy, a better life. What does happiness, or maybe I should say, what does unhappiness do to the body? Has there been anything that you've discovered scientifically on that?
Yeah, well, there's a huge correlation between how we feel physically and how and our happiness level. And what I found is that there are a number of people, many people, who just need to do some simple tweaking in their bodies to raise their happiness level. You know, there are certain biochemicals of happiness, things like serotonin and endorphins and dopamine and oxytocin. And when you can adjust those particular levels, and I'm talking naturally, not through through prescription medications, but naturally, you can raise your happiness set point. And I've interviewed a lot of people around this, experts in this field, and I've used these things myself and had tremendous results. In fact, I have a Happy for No Reason assessment that allows you to see whether you're low in serotonin and oxytocin and endorphins.
Wow.
It gives you specific prescriptions about what it is you may be able to do with the food that you eat or the supplements that you take and things like that. And you know, I can't go into details about those right here because that's very specific to the to individuals, and taking that assessment will help you with that. But I can tell one thing to everybody about the body that will greatly impact their happiness. Darius, this is going to be a tough one for you to hear right now, I'm afraid, because it has to do with sleep, okay? It has to do with sleep, and I know you have newborns, and so sleep is not really at the top of your list right now.
Right.
But the research shows that the quality of sleep that we got last night has a greater bearing on our happiness than our income level or our marital status. The quality of sleep that we got, and I'm going to give you a tip about sleep that most people don't know.
Oh my gosh.
And that is that our bodies work in the cycles of nature. We have circadian cycles.
Mm.
And the most important hours to rejuvenate the body are between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And specifically, 10 p.m. is kind of a marker. In Eastern medicine, in Ayurvedic medicine of India or in Chinese medicine, they say that we go into a new cycle once we hit 10 o'clock. And if you can go to sleep just before 10 o'clock, you will get a tremendous, twice as much value as the sleep that you'll get after midnight. So if somebody is feeling a little bit down, the first thing that I tell them to do is to go to sleep three nights in a row before 10 o'clock. I don't care what time you wake up in the morning, but go to sleep three nights in a row before 10 o'clock and watch how you feel on the fourth day.
Wow.
Now, you get a special dispensation, Darius, because having children, you get different chemicals going through your body that help you make it through the night with no sleep. But I know you're feeling the effects of lack of sleep right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just so true. And I've noticed, like, I'll just find myself kind of, even though I'm excited about the boys, you still find yourself kind of getting a little down. And like, wait, that's not me, but it's so much a part of that sleep. This is what I love about what we're doing here is I know you cover tons more and a lot of practices to actually, like, permanently reset this. And we're just kind of going through some things people can do right now. But it's all, like, fitting the pieces together in, like, the happiest moments of my life versus, you know, those things actually being random. It's like now I see sort of the pieces that have made me the happiest in my life consistently, and you're just nailing them one by one. And this is what I love about it. This is not random. This is a science.
It is a science. There is a specific recipe for success. You know, for happiness, which ultimately then leads to success.
Success.
People often say to me, oh, well, I can just decide to be happy.
No.
Well, that's where you start, but you can no more just decide to be happy and wake up tomorrow morning happier than you can decide to be a great tennis player and wake up tomorrow morning ready to play Wimbledon. If you want to be able to play Wimbledon, you study the habits of great tennis players. And you practice those, ideally with a coach. And it's the same with happiness. If you want to be happier, you don't just decide, okay, now I'll be happier. You actually have to practice the specific habits of happy people. And this is what's really interesting, Darius. Some people, I mentioned that I have 21 happiness habits. Everyone is good at about four or five of them. Everyone is really bad at about four or five of them. and then they're about in between on the others. And all of ours are different. So what I've found is that it's really important for people to learn which are the ones they're the weakest in, and then to start there, to work with those. And that's where you can get the greatest results the fastest, when you actually are doing, you know, what is most important for your life. Because for some people, the body piece isn't that important. For them, it's maybe the mind, or it's maybe some of these other things. In fact, I really have to share one more. Is that okay? Can I share one more really important tool?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because what I'm getting is that, you know, for different people, based on your physiology and kind of just who you are, not all of these are going to have the same effect, but you want to get the full list so you can decide, and your physiology and your psychology can plug into those that serve you the most, right, Marcy? So the more you give, the better for us.
That's exactly right. So I am often asked, what is the fast track to greater happiness? And my answer is twofold. My answer is what I just said. The fast track for you is to find where you're the weakest, your Achilles heel, and then work on that habit first. But if there were one universal fast track, I would say the one thing that we all can, you know, all these things that I've shared today with you, including that inner ease technique and the changing your thoughts and the sleep issue, all of those are important. And I would encourage you to also practice this. And that is the fast track to greater happiness is forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Gosh. Oh, wow.
As long as we are holding on to anger, resentment, to a grudge, we cannot feel free and happy in our lives. And I want to share with you, there are many, many forgiveness techniques and tools out there, but I'm going to share with you the one that I use the most because I have found so much great benefit out of it. And it's a simple technique. If you've got a pen and paper, I hope that you're going to grab it and make sure to write this down.
Okay.
The technique is called Ho'oponopono. And the good news is you don't have to say the word Ho'oponopono. It's a lot easier to do the practice than it is to pronounce the title of it. It's a Kahuna Hawaiian practice, which is why there's all those O's and P's in it. And it's, let me just teach it to you right now. It simply involves repeating four phrases over and over again in your heart with feeling. Now, you don't ever have to say anything to the person for whom to whom you are angry. You don't ever have to do anything differently except this practice of feeling these four phrases in your heart, and you will see changes happen. Now, that doesn't mean you may not also then want to go and clear it up with the person, but this is the place to start. And here are the four phrases. They are, okay. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And I'm going to repeat those. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Now, let me just, if I may, indulge me a little. And I want to share with you how I used that in my own life. I've used it many times, but I want to share with you the time that I used it with the most importance in my life. And it was with my sister. Now, my sister and I, this happened about 3 years ago, we got in an argument. And we weren't talking to each other. And this had never happened in our family before. But she got mad at me for something. I didn't think I deserved it. I dug my heels in, and we just were in this silent treatment. And this went on for 3 or 4 months until one day our family had to gather to move our mom from our family home of 58 years to an assisted living apartment. And the morning of the move, we all got together at her new apartment to unpack her things. Now, I came in last, and I hugged and kissed everybody hello, except for my sister, who I totally ignored. I spent the entire morning avoiding making eye contact with her, which wasn't easy in this tiny apartment. I would walk to the other side of the room so I wouldn't have to look at her. It was just really awful.
Wow.
Finally, after about 3 hours of this, I had to take a break, and I decided to go to my car. And on the way to the car, I remembered Ho'oponopono. And so I sat in my car, and I just did this practice with her. And I also did it towards myself as well because I was angry at myself too. So I just sat there. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And after about 10 minutes of doing this, a wave of love came over me. towards my sister. And I realized that she wasn't mad at me for what had happened 3 months earlier, but it was a lifetime of stuff that had happened, and I could suddenly see her point of view. My heart broke open. It really, really melted, and I felt all this love for my sister. Well, I went back into the apartment, and I didn't say anything. I just decided I'm just going to go back in and continue to unpack my mom's things.
Hmm.
About 4 minutes after I was back, my sister came over to me out of the blue, took me by the hand, and said, "Come on, Marcy, let's go unpack Mom's closet together," which is what we did. And then an hour later at lunch, she hands me her baked potato and says, "Here, Marcy, have this. I know you like these more than I do." And I was completely shocked by this sudden change in her behavior, so I pulled my brother aside and I said, "Okay, what did you tell her while I was gone?" And he said, "Marcy, no one said anything to her. We have no idea what has just happened." Well, Darius, that was the beginning of an entirely different relationship that I now have with my sister. And let me tell you, it happened at exactly a critical time, because 9 months later, she and I found ourselves standing in that same closet of our mother's, this time packing up Mom's things because she had just passed away.
Oh.
And I cannot imagine what that would have been like had we not cleared that up. And the reason that I, and now my sister and I really, she just actually left yesterday. She came to help me organize my office and my house, and she's just, it's like a different relationship, that we better than we've ever, ever had in our life. And I share this because I know that every single person listening has someone or something in their life that is unresolved and that is draining their energy.
Yes.
And I, if you have any blocks in your success, in your business, in your finances, find out in your heart where your blocks are in forgiveness. And it could be towards people that are completely unrelated to your business. But do this practice, and you will see everything in your business transform.
That is an incredible story, and I was just really going to echo that, is as messengers, as teachers, as healers, as people sharing a gift, you know, if you are feeling that emotion of something, or even subconsciously if it's there, it's going to put a barrier around your light. It's going to stop that light from really coming out into the world. And if you do get out in the world, you still have that? Guess what? I mean, people will sense that. People will sense that in you, and it will thwart what you're trying to create. And so this is a huge piece of Marcy. I've got to ask, I've got quite a few questions, but I've got to ask this really important question. How has your life actually changed once you really incorporated this really quick into your life? I know you had some success. Now you have massive success. Kind of take us really quick, if you can, into that.
Yeah, night and day. I will tell you, everything that happened came as a result of me shifting my happiness set point. You know, after I'd written all those chicken, I ended up writing 7 Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and I was done with chicken soup. It no longer spoke to me. I mean, I loved doing it, but it was time, I knew, to do something else. And because I had done all this work on myself, this, you know, inner work in raising my happiness set point, I had a choice, and I realized that I could write a book about success and manifesting, because I certainly knew how to do that. But it didn't speak to my heart. And so I followed the path of writing a book, writing about and studying happiness, you know, continuing to spread this all these amazing tools, share these tools that I've learned about happiness, and it's brought me more success than I had ever dreamed of. And I'm on my way to China next week to speak to an audience of over 3,000 people. I've spoken all over the world, and my level of success has just truly skyrocketed. And now it comes with this greater inner state of happiness. So it's night and day. I wouldn't be excited about this. I wouldn't be sharing this if I didn't absolutely see the changes that it's made in my own life and in the lives of so many people. I mean, Darius, I can tell you, like, how often I'm at a speech when somebody comes up to me and tells me what's changed in their life because of doing the work or my programs. You know, I recently was giving a talk, and there was a woman in the audience who was standing in line afterwards to get her book, I thought, to get her book autographed, and she was weeping. She was in tears, and I thought, oh, my God, what's wrong with her? And she got up to me, and she said, you know, Marcy, I have to tell you, I have a 19-year-old son, and he was very, very depressed. He was on all kinds of medication, and he had, we tried everything on him, and nothing worked. And about 6 months ago, I found your Happy for No Reason personal learning course, and I decided that we would do it together as a family. And I want you to know, within a few weeks, he was off of his medication. And by the way, I tell people, don't go off of any medication without first checking with your doctor. And I've had many, 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 many people go off of their medication, you know, with the consultation of their doctor. And she said, and within a month, he was a different person. And she said, and not only that, you know, I already thought I was pretty happy, and I thought I didn't need this, but I found that I could even raise my happiness set point as well. You know, she said, I did it just to join in with him, but I could raise my happiness set point too. So it doesn't matter where you are on the happiness continuum. You can, we can all become happier.
Yeah, it's astounding. I want to do this. I know you cover a ton of different ways to really permanently raise the set point, and that's a key word, permanently, really raise it so you have the tools, everyone, to raise that and live this, not just, you know, a lot of you aren't going to remember all the tools, a lot of you are going to do them for a few, we want to make this part of your life, because as a messenger, I was stuck when I was unhappy, I was really stuck, and, you know, Marcy, you know, you've been there, we don't want people to be successful and then break down and be unhappy and then lose it all either, because success needs to be enduring. How can people get all of the tools, get everything that you're recommending for folks to do and all of the strategies and really make it a part of their life? And I've got to say this, the lives of their family, of their children, of their parents, and their customers. How can they do that?
Yes. Well, I, like you, Darius, I like results. I'm a very bottom line, get me the results fast kind of a person. And so once I'd come up with these, discovered these 21 happiness habits, I went to a company called Learning Strategies, and they are experts in accelerated learning. And I said, look, I've got these 21 happiness habits. Can we put these together in a program using accelerated learning techniques
so that
people can get these faster and deeper and in a more lasting way? And they said, absolutely, we know how to do that. And so we joined together and created this program called the Happy for No Reason Personal Learning Course. And it's all 21 of these habits, but we put you on a specific program based on your own. You fill out these various assessments, like I mentioned earlier. There's one about your endorphins and serotonin and oxytocin, but there's many more assessments in there. And based on your responses, we put you on a specific program using accelerated learning tools to raise your happiness set point. And I'll give you an example. We've got in there a Happy for No Reason paraliminal meditation. And what you do is you listen with headphones, and it's got one message that goes into one ear and another message that goes into another ear.
Oh, wow.
It bypasses your conscious thinking, and it goes into your subconscious and raises your happiness set point.
Oh, my God, that's cool.
So you don't even have to listen. You put it on while you're going to sleep at night, and it's really powerful technology. So we have, and then as I mentioned earlier, we've got the best of the processes out there for releasing your negative thought patterns. We've got the specific tools that you can use to open your heart, to really experience greater joy in literally in your heart, to create what's called heart rhythm coherence. And so there are many, many techniques. Now, the important thing is most people get overwhelmed by too much. And so I know I have fallen off of many programs because there were just too many things to do.
Yeah.
So what we do is we take you step by step, one thing at a time, so that you're building on itself, raising your happiness set point. And I guarantee you within 30 days you will be happier and it will be lasting. And it's simple. If you give me 5 to 10 minutes a day, that's all it needs to raise your happiness set point. And then ultimately, of course, that's what is the foundation for your greater success in your business. And by the way, if you have children, there is nothing more important that you can do for your children than raise your own happiness set point and then share with them these habits. You can start sharing these habits with your kids as early as ages 5 and 6.
Wow. And you know the order to do. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to do this first, but there may be things you can do first, like I can imagine forgiveness and some other things first that actually will dramatically increase everything else you do very quickly and make sure that you maintain that set point, because there's nothing more frustrating than trying something and then going right back and saying, oh, it didn't work. And that is what costs you, because then you may give up on ever really being happy. And honestly, this is a gift you can give yourself and your family. I want to do this. I know that we're getting short on time. I want to let people know where it is, and then we can maybe go through a little bit of it, time permitting. It's at messengerrevolution.com/Marci, M-A-R-C-I. That's messengerrevolution.com/Marci, M-A-R-C-I. And Marci, tell us a little bit more or anything else we need to know about the program.
Well, the program really looks at your old habitual patterns that have been robbing you of your happiness, and what are the most cutting-edge ways that you can break through those old patterns. Remember, we talked about the negativity bias, how you can break through that pattern. We also look at specifically what you can do to live a more inspired life. You know, people who are happy, people who are doing what they love, and only 20% of people in the world are doing, or in America, are doing what they love, only 20%. We walk you through how you can live a more inspired life so that every day you are living your life from inspiration rather than from obligation. You know, we are not here on this planet just to survive. We are here to thrive. So we go through a very specific formula on how to do that. At the end of each of the modules, there's also this really cool accelerated learning tool called the Fast Finish, where you listen and everything is speeded up 5 times. You don't need to pay attention, but it goes in on a deep level by just listening to this thing based on being everything that you've just learned is sped up.
Wow.
Really cool.
Wow, and really quick, I've got another question. The program, I know you're offering it to us at a substantial discount. Tell us what you've put together for us there.
Well, I was so excited about what you're doing, and you know, my passion is people who are wanting to be messengers, great messengers of the world, of course. And so I went to Learning Strategies. I said, okay, what can you do? It is so critical that these people are as happy as they can possibly be. I mean, it's critical for the world right now that we're all as happy as we can be, but certainly for our businesses and getting our messages out. And so they were able to normally the program is $248, and they are offering it now for $98, which is the biggest savings I've ever seen them be able to offer on this.
Yeah, because if we offered it another time a while ago. I think it didn't have all of these pieces in it. I remember it being more. So this is incredible, $98. It's at messengerrevolution.com/Marci, M-A-R-C-I. And I've got to say this, guys, when we talk about the unforgiveness piece, we talk about the happiness piece, a lot of the financial lack that people are dealing with right now comes from an unforgiveness, unhappiness part, or an energy of that that is just sort of replaying like a record that you can't see playing, but it's playing in your life, and it's closing you off from the opportunities. And I've seen that in my life. As we talked about going back 4 years, that was one of the things that once I collapsed that and I got rid of that using some of the techniques Marci talks about, things shifted entirely. So there's so many facets to this. Just amazing, amazing.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the program that I am most I'm most proud of, because I know it's the one. It is the one thing that will change everything in your life.
Yeah.
And it's so, if I could just emphasize, it's so easy to do. 5 to 10 minutes a day is all we're talking about to change the one thing that will truly change everything in your life.
Wow. I'm going to tell people again where they can go, and then I want to see if there's any final things that we need to think about or come come to a realization about, Marcy, so I'll give you the final thought. It's at messengerrevolution.com/Marcy, M-A-R-C-I. And I just want to say, Marcy's, I would say, probably the most successful messenger that we've ever interviewed on the Messenger Revolution in terms of New York Times bestselling books, numbers of books sold, her reach, her appearance on, you know, hit movies like The Secret, her connections that she has, the impact she's had on the world. And she's not telling you, go do an internet marketing program or go do this. Or she's saying, please get these happiness tools in place in your life and unlock the happiness that is yours, that you were probably born with at some level, that somehow was locked away through different events, through different experiences, or through different things that you perceived happening in your life. That's the first thing she's saying. We need to do this right now. It's at messengerrevolution.com/Marcy, M-A-R-C-I. Marcy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I do actually have a final thought, and that is that people often ask me, is this selfish? You know, here we are focusing on our own happiness, and shouldn't we be trying to help the world? And I certainly know that everybody's listening to this right now. You want to contribute to the world, or you wouldn't have a message out there. And what I have to say is that this is the least selfish thing that you could possibly do. I mean, wait, this is the least selfish. That's right. This is the least selfish thing that you could possibly do. It's because when you are focusing on your own happiness, when you become happier, you will change the world. And there's a phenomenon called social contagion that says that we catch the emotions of the people around us like we catch their colds. And when you want to be the kind of person that people, they want to catch your emotions. You know, do you want to be the person that when you walk in the room lights up because you walked in, or that the room lights up because you walked out? You want to be the one that the room lights up when you walked in. And ultimately, that's how you contribute to the world. And I'll close with a Chinese proverb that sums up why I'm doing this and various why I believe you're doing what you're doing and why every single person listening is here doing what they're doing. And it goes like this. It says, when there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. And my prayer and my wish for every single one of us is that we feel that light in our own souls, that we experience that happiness in our own lives. And through that, we create happiness in our families, success in our businesses, and peace in the world.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Marcy. This was incredible. And I'm still going to, you know, I'm thinking about some of those exercises. Unfortunately, I can't remember many of them, which is why, you know, I'm so glad you have it all in the program. And that's the whole piece is that we can make it a part of our life and have it forever. It's at messengerrevolution.com/Marcy, M-A-R-C-I. And Marcy, thank you for being the gift you are, for sharing your message with the world, for being there on that stage, living your life in Calgary those many years ago that made me think about my happiness, that ultimately led me to look deeper. And I think it's a big reason why my life has unfolded the way it is now, and I wouldn't trade what I have now for anything in the world. So thank you for being a component of that. You are amazing.
Thank you, Darius. I'm really grateful to have been with you today and with everybody here. Thanks.
Incredible. All right, everyone. So I'm going to tell you again, it's at messengerrevolution.com/Marcy. And the last piece I want to leave you with is, what would happen to your gift? What would happen to your light? What would happen to your message if you raised your happiness one time, two times, three times where it is now? How far would that message travel? How would people be magnetized to you? How would your ideas come in? How would your confidence be? How would your certainty about your mission on this planet change? I've been there. It changed a lot. It will be the difference between night and day. And that's why one of the most successful messengers I've ever known, maybe the most, is telling you, work on the happiness first. The rest will follow. Much love. We will see you on the next Messenger Revolution call. And to go deeper, go to messengerrevolution.com/Marcy, M-A-R-C-I. Much love. You are a gift.